Pine Hollow sat silent, his eyes worried, and Narman waited while his cousin worked his way through the same logic chain. The Earl, Narman knew, was cautious by nature. More than that, Pine Hollow's younger brother was an upper priest of the Order of Pasquale, serving in the Republic of Sittermark and about due to be elevated to the episcopate. It was entirely possible that Narman's frankness was more than Pine Hollow was prepared to accept.
"No," the Earl said finally. "No, the church isn't going to find it easy, not if it works out the way you're predicting."
"And should the church find it easy?" Narman asked softly, deliberately pushing his cousin still further.
"No,"
Pine Hollow sighed, and his expression was no longer uncertain, although Narman doubted the profound sorrow it mirrored struck Pine Hollow as an improvement.
"No, you're right about that too, Narman. The group of four aren't the true problem, are they? They're the symptom."
"Exactly." Narman reached out and placed one plump hand on Pine Hollow's forearm.
"I don't know whether or not it's possible for the church to reform herself internally. I do know that before the group of four and the other vicars like them allow that to happen, there's going to be bloodshed and slaughter on a scale no one's ever seen since the overthrow of Shan Wei."
"What do you want to do about it?"
Pine Hollow managed a wan smile.
"It's not like you to drop something like this on me across the breakfast table unless you've already got a plan in mind, my prince."
"No, I don't suppose it is."
Narman sat back again and reached for his temporarily abandoned plate. His eyes fell to his hands as he meticulously sliced the remaining melon into bite-sized pieces.
"I need to send a message of my own to Caleb," he said,
never looking away from his knife and fork.
"I need someone who can convince him I'm prepared to surrender to him, that he doesn't need to keep burning my cities and killing my subjects to make his point."
"He's made it pretty clear he wants your head, Narman. From the tone of his comments, I don't think he's going to be very happy about settling for anything short of that."
"I know."
The prince's smile was more of a grimace than anything else, but there might have been a little actual humor in it.
"I know, and I suppose that if he really insists upon it, he'll undoubtedly get it in the end anyway. It's a pity Mantell decided to run off to the mainland rather than coming here. I might have been able to convince Caleb of my sincerity by offering him the Earl of Hant's head as a substitute, as it were. Still, I may be able to demonstrate to him that a man of my talents and experience would be more valuable working for him than fertilizing a garden plot somewhere behind his palace."
"And if you can't?"
Pine Hollow asked very quietly.
"If I can't, I can't."
Narman shrugged far more philosophically than Pine Hollow felt sure he would have been able to manage under the same circumstances.
"I can always hope he'll settle for life imprisonment in some only moderately unpleasant dungeon somewhere. And even if he doesn't, at least Caleb isn't the sort to carry out any sort of reprisals against Olivia or the children. Which,"
he looked up and met Pine Hollow's eyes squarely,
"is about the best I could hope for anyway, if he has to land an invasion force. Except that this way we get to skip the bit where thousands of my subjects get killed first."
Pine Hollow sat looking into his cousin's eyes and realized that possibly for the first time since Narman had ascended to the throne of Emerald, his prince had abandoned all pretense. It came as something of a shock after all these years, but Narman was serious.
"You can't just make peace with Caleb, even surrender to him, without Grayson and the rest of the clergy going up in flames behind you," the Earl said.
"You know that, don't you?"
"Grayson, yes. And probably most of the bishops at the very least," Narman conceded. "On the other hand, most of our upper priests, even our itinerant bishops, are Emeraldians. We're almost as bad as Caris in that respect. Frankly, that's one of the things that has Grayson running so scared. and I strongly suspect he has good reason for it. At any rate, I've discussed this matter with Uncle Hanbill at some length."
"I see." Pinehollow leaned back, the fingers of his right hand drumming slowly, rhythmically, on the arm of his chair while he thought. Narman's point about the composition of the Emeraldian clergy was well taken. Whether or not the division between the lower-ranking native-born clergy and their foreign-born ecclesiastical superiors would even begin to translate into the sort of support for schism which Caleb had discovered in Caris was another, more complicated calculation. And, the First Counselor admitted to himself, it wasn't one to which he himself had given the careful consideration it no doubt merited. "Probably," he acknowledged to himself, "because I didn't want to think about this possibility at all until Narman rubbed my nose in it.